listen to today's last report to see who else has been released. Hi, I'm Lori Bransky coming to you live from Gillette Stadium on Friday, May 26th. You're listening to the Ross Report podcast, the official podcast of the New England Patriots. Today you're going to hear Paul Perillo, Tom Casale, and Brian Lowe talk about all the recent transactions on the roster.
Thanks once again, Laurie. We are indeed back with the Patriots Roster Report podcast on this Friday. It's the last Friday in the month of May. That means it's a three-day weekend, Memorial Day. We're all getting ready to embark on this lovely three-day weekend. We've got Paul Perillo here and Tom Casale. No Andy Hart. We think he's out lounging in bed. I think it's his birthday and day off and what have you. But we'll try to get by without him, just like I guess you guys did without me last week and without Tom as well. Tom and I were enjoying a three-day weekend ourselves last week.
That was must be tough to, you know, you work a Sunday, you know, put a couple hours in, you get a day off. You work Saturday, you know, pretty much a full day, 8 hours, you get nothing.
Yeah, I did both.
Yeah, well, that's good for you.
I did both.
That's good for you. At least you were rewarded for it.
I was rewarded for it. Tell it to the judge, Paul.
Tell it to the judge.
But it was an opportunity to do some rookie minicamp stuff.
It sure was.
Which was good. See some of these young guys.
Love it.
Actually, a lot of them still here right now, Brian, as Tom and I were making our way down here. Several offensive linemen working out around the weight room outside the weight room. Brian O'Callaghan, Dan Stevenson.
Is that right? I walked down the hallway as well. I think same hallway you're talking about. I want to say it was cornerbacks at the time that were out in that hallway. I couldn't quite make out exactly who they were because, you know, still don't quite know these guys as well as the Bradys and Vrabels and those kind of guys. But good to see that they're working hard, Paul, isn't it?
Well, I mean, I think that was the whole point of having the rookie minicamp the week later, so they could keep the young guys here and get them started right away in the off-season program, and it's obviously well underway at this point.
Some quirky rules in terms of when rookies can and can't be here in their first couple months in the NFL, but needless to say, they are here, and they'll all be around for the full squad minicamp, which is just less than 3 weeks away, I think, at this point. Well, we're talking about the Patriots roster, and they made one move this week, releasing linebacker Jeremy Lloyd, his stay in New England. Rather short, I think, a matter of weeks. We hardly knew him. We did know that he only has one L in his last name. That remains the case even with his release. But sort of strange, in my opinion, when you sign a free agent and cut him within the same month and it's the middle of the offseason, the guy must have either specifically done one thing wrong, whether it be an on-field or off-the-field kind of thing, and the team says, you're out, or they've put him through workouts and he just has absolutely nothing to offer.
Right. That's probably the case. They probably brought him in, another body, worked him out, didn't see anything from him, and didn't feel like they needed to, you know, use up a roster spot with him.
And it's not like we're talking about a guy who was destined to make a major impact. No. I mean, this was a fringe guy who might not have even made the team, even if he went through all of training camp, whether it be special teams or linebacker. But obviously, they figured, well, he's not going to be able to help us.
Right. And to be honest with you, I wouldn't know Jeremy Lloyd if he came in here and sat down next to me. So,
speaking of walking down the hallway and seeing some players, I probably wouldn't have known Jeremy Lloyd. So, you know, whether this is a major news item or not, it does kind of bring into focus the linebacker position, which is always in focus around here because of the constant need to find outside rushers, players who are regulars in the 3-4 defense. And Paul, I know you and I, yesterday we were chatting with Ryan Claridge, sort of a mystery figure in his 1 year in the NFL, and it's been a rather tumultuous year for him since he was drafted in the fifth round last year. He goes on IR with a shoulder injury. And misses all of his rookie year, and then that's nothing compared to what he had this past offseason. His brother, himself, a former NFL player, he was drafted in 2000, Travis Claridge, died in February. So certainly a rather tumultuous year. But is he a guy that, you know, having talked to him yesterday, Paul, do you think he can maybe step in and play a role on this team?
Well, it's going to be interesting to find that out. And it's funny because we sat and talked to him for a good 15, 20 minutes yesterday. Very pleasant guy, you know. Was accessible, and you know, in light of the circumstances you just touched on about his brother Travis, I thought that he handled that situation, you know, well. Didn't necessarily want to get into any of that, but
he asked politely about it, and he politely declined to talk about it.
But I don't really feel like I have any more of an idea of who Ryan Claridge is and why or how he'll fit into the Patriots' future plans than I did before I spoke with him. He's just well-schooled in the Patriots' way of doing things, keeping everything close to the vest, and didn't really offer much insight as to what his role might be, if any, or what exactly the Patriots' coaching staff, how they might envision him either. I mean, it remains a mystery to me.
Yeah, and part of that mystery, and I know you brought this up during the season last year and again with him yesterday, the fact that he was not seen really at all last year. And typically when a guy is injured, whether he's on IR or he's just out for a couple games, you still sort of see these players walking through the locker room, maybe coming in or out of the training room. You don't necessarily get to talk to them, but he's a guy who, from the day he was placed on IR during training camp, really until yesterday, I hadn't laid eyes on him.
Yeah,
and that's kind of strange.
I was going to ask you guys that because, you know, I was reading some things on him, and I said he did all his rehab in Las Vegas, which I thought was a little strange. What do you guys take from that? I mean, what does that mean that he wasn't
around?
He's
got a gambling problem, Tom.
Maybe.
No. Well, I asked him about it specifically yesterday, and he said that he came out of college with an injury, if you recall. I'm not sure how closely you were following the Patriots draft, you know, before you were here, but he had a shoulder problem that he incurred his senior year at UNLV, had that taken care of in Las Vegas, said that the rehab worked out very well. He was 100% when he got here, and they decided to do it the same way, not to disrupt any of that plan because it worked well the first time. I'm guessing that's probably not entirely true. Not that I don't think it's a lie. I think there's probably more to it than what he is talking about. Now, in light of finding out about his brother, in the meantime, I'm wondering if maybe it had something to do, because, let's face it, Travis Claridge was obviously a troubled young man, had some issues that he was dealing with, and he didn't want to talk about it, so I'm not going to even speculate, but I'm guessing it had something to do with some family issues that he was maybe dealing with, and that's why the Patriots had him, as a young guy especially. I mean, it's one thing if Rodney Harrison,
him, right, for to be here,
exactly,
be
exactly.
And,
you know,
still
we saw
meetings. You can still watch film.
For example, we saw Gus Scott constantly the year before, who had a torn ACL, suffered in preseason. He was here constantly throughout the regular season in 2004. I see no reason why Claridge would have been okay with the Patriots coaching staff to have him not around for the entire regular season, but I don't know why, and he didn't really get into why, so I'm not going to even guess. But I'm going to say that there was more to it, and maybe involved some family kind of issues.
It's going to be difficult for him to really contribute then, because he's basically going through his rookie season all over again. Even if you're injured as a rookie, you still get to sit in on meetings, like you guys were saying, and at least absorb some of the system. He's done none of that.
He's done none of that.
He did say that he felt light years ahead of where he was because of just the experience in watching and absorbing stuff, knowing the system a little bit. And basically he said he just kind of follows Teddy Bruschi and Larry Izzo and Don Davis and the rest of the linebackers. He just kind of follows them around. And the way he put it, he'd be an idiot not to. I mean, they obviously know how it's done and they know how to succeed in the NFL, and that's basically the pattern he's trying to follow.
Now, it's interesting with the linebackers. There of the 14 linebackers on the roster, four of them are rookies, including Jeremy Mincy, who was drafted, and then Corey Mays, Freddie Roach, and Pierre Woods. And you've got the handful of veterans who are pretty much locks to make the team, Teddy Bruschi, Mike Vrabel, Roosevelt Colvin. There's that gap there where it's kind of wide open in the fifth, sixth, seventh line, even the fourth linebacker on this team. But that fifth, sixth, seventh linebacker role, the depth, that's where there's some intrigue. And I think Ryan Claridge is in the mix at that position to play a role. So what do you make of where things stand with the linebackers? They did sign Barry Gardner at the same time they signed Jeremy Lloyd. Gardner has remained, unlike Lloyd. What do you make of the linebacker depth at this point? Could there be some guys who are in the mix in the next couple weeks in the NFL that this team could be looking at?
You have to think they're going to bring in probably one more player, just a veteran player to be there. They got some guys. I mean, you know, Banna Kane's been around for a while. Bies will be in his second year. Eric Alexander's a guy who's been around for a couple of years. So maybe someone like that jumps up and makes that huge leap, but I don't think you can depend on that. So my guess is they'll wait, they'll see what happens, and maybe bring in, I know Donnie Edwards' name's been thrown around, maybe someone like him. You know, you have to have, at least in my opinion, one more veteran player on this team. I don't even know if Barry Gardner's gonna make the squad. So, you know, I'm not putting him in that with the veteran class of Vrabel and those guys. So I would guess one more player.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how that unfolds. And Brian, you started this whole topic by saying that the linebacker position here seems to be kind of a lightning rod. And I think the reason for that is it's kind of a mystery place, because not a lot of teams do what the Patriots do. Now, there are some teams that run the 3-4, But the Patriots system in Claridge played 3-4 in college, and he said yesterday it was apples and oranges compared to what he did. So it's not just that a guy has 3-4 experience, so that means it automatically translates. Some teams run a 2-gap and some don't, and the Patriots obviously have a specific way of doing things. But trying to figure out which guys are suited to play that inside spot, are they big enough to do the things that Belichick wants them to do? The outside guys, we see so many defensive linemen like Mincy and Woods that we talked about make that transition. Well, Bantakane had to make that transition as well. Do they make it quickly? Does it take a couple more years? You know, we saw a couple of guys in the draft like Cameron Wimbley and Manny Lawson. Maybe they didn't feel those guys were quite ready to handle setting the edge the way McGinnis and Colvin have and Vrabel, obviously, as outside guys. Maybe there was some question there.
Yeah.
And I think that's why the linebacker position with the Patriots is so hard to forecast, because you don't know which guys have the skill set and translate to the transition quickly enough. Monty Beisel, I think Tom makes a good point. Second year for him now. I think he may be a better player, and specifically with Teddy Bruschi next to him. He's never really played with Bruschi next to him. So I would expect him to be a much better player now than he was when he was forced to try to step in the role with Johnson and Bruschi both gone.
Always, and Bill Belichick talks about it too, you know, sometimes, especially leading up to this draft, you know, it's hard to find the right linebackers for this system. And he actually did say before this draft that it seemed like there maybe that linebacker position was sort of, in this draft, there were more of them than
had been the case in the
past.
Which
was sort of interesting that they then proceeded to not take any defensive players total until the sixth round.
But like we've said before, we don't know if a Bobby Carpenter was there.
Right.
Maybe they would have.
Right.
The draft could be held tomorrow and unfold differently, and they may have taken six defensive players
no
with the first six picks instead, you
I don't
know,
think
instead of
any
offense.
Question about that. Absolutely. Well, that's going to do it for today's edition of the Patriots Roster Report, kind of a little bit of a focus on linebackers. And if you think that this stretch of time from late May to late July before training camp is dull, well, maybe the transaction wire isn't overflowing, but here in the Patriots Roster Report, we will always have things to talk about. We're even going to touch on other teams' rosters, maybe some of the teams in the division. Over the course of these next couple months, we'll also have the Patriots full squad mini camp, which will certainly have a lot of focus on the roster. So be sure to join us here every Friday with the Patriots Roster Report, of course, Patriots Football Weekly, PFW in Progress on Wednesdays as well. And always stuff to talk about with the Patriots, even in this period.
Jeremy Lloyd, we hardly knew you.
Jeremy Lloyd, we hardly knew you. So on this Jeremy Lloyd Memorial edition of the Patriots Roster Report, that's going to wrap it up for Tom Casale and Paul Perillo. I'm Brian Lowe, and we're going to send it back to Laurie.
Thanks, guys. Remember, this is the last week you'll be able to catch that Pro Shop clearance sale, so make sure you visit the online Pro Shop. That's all for today. Come back next week for the Roster Report. Thanks for listening, and go Pats!